This is the Jack Mountain Bushcraft Podcast. My name is Tim Smith. Today I'm going to talk about Beyond Wallpaper. Nature and outdoor education has become wallpaper, the backdrop for people-focused activities. Modern programs use nature as a place to hike, climb, paddle, but they are, in essence, landless. Nature has become a hostile place to travel through while focusing on the activity, the people, and the gear. This isn't a slight against modern outdoor ed programs. They do amazing things and are transformative for a large number of people, but they are focused squarely on the people. There are alternatives to the modern approach, and I'd like to introduce the ideas behind one of them based on my personal experience. A little bit about me. In 1999, fresh out of graduate school and on my way to a teaching career, I started running outdoor education programs and guiding trips, figuring on doing so for a bit before entering the classroom. A year later, a friend and I put together the Wilderness Bushcraft Semester, designed as an immersion course in traditional outdoor living skills and nature knowledge. This fall, I ran my 24th such course. In many ways, I've had the luxury of having my own educational laboratory for 14 years. As a result, I've learned many ways that things don't work, and even a few that do. I think there are three isms driving outdoor education away from nature: consumerism, timeism, and depthism. Consumerism is the constant stream of shiny new outdoor gear. Gear often becomes the focus, and it drives the most of the industry, the magazines, the TV shows. A lot of that stuff is very gear-focused. Timeism is people being impatient, people wanting it now, and focusing solely on the product or the outcome, and never the process. Depthism is about rarely getting beneath the surface and often just scratching around there. For example, maybe somebody learns the name of one of the trees they have in their yard, but they don't learn anything about the wood, what it's used for, how traditional craftsmen used it, and how to spot something that would be good for a project that they were working on. It hasn't always been this way. Environmental problems and a changing demographic led Harvey Manning, in his 1972 book titled Backpacking One Step at a Time, to declare that woodcraft is dead. It was as a result of high use areas getting overused and everybody wanting to use an axe and a saw and using old school tents where you needed poles in ecologically sensitive areas. Since then, outdoor education has trended toward ultralight backpacking with ever-increasing levels of technology and ever-decreasing levels of interaction with the land. We became a culture who traveled through, but didn't interact with the land meaningfully. But not for all of us. The beauty and privilege of speaking to a crowd such as I spoke to at the Snowwalkers Rendezvous a week and a half ago is that the traditions haven't been forgotten. Those events are few and far between, but if you can find one, it's worth going to. So let's take a quick look at modern outdoor education compared to a more traditional approach. In the modern view, the natural world is seen as hostile, some place to travel through. It's very gear intensive. There's a very limited relationship with the land. For example, in the case of, say, a ropes course, where they could take place almost anywhere, the land isn't a big factor. And the goals are very people-centric. Things such as personal growth, team building, those are the desired outcomes. In a more traditional outdoor education, the natural world is seen as home. It's where we get our food and raw materials for our gear and projects. It's very knowledge-intensive. There's an intimate relationship with the land, for example, with things like crafting and foraging. And the goals are understanding the land and our place on it. So there's the problem. In many ways, in an effort to have a streamlined and out-of-the-box outdoor education experience, much of what could make outdoor ed great gets left by the wayside. And it perpetuates itself. If a young person is raised in a modern outdoor ed sense, they're raised with a really hands-off attitude towards nature, and they don't get to understand it on a deep and meaningful level. Then when they start to lead trips and run programs, it just perpetuates because they're only going to teach what they know. So we've identified the problem. What's the solution? I don't claim to have a magic bullet. I don't even claim to have a lot of answers. I do, however, feel very confident in passing on what's worked for us. when we design our curriculum, there's three guiding principles. It had to be practical, tangible, and experiential. So by practical, it means it has to solve actual problems, nothing abstract. At tangible, we try to avoid any abstraction, and our activities have to have a direct link back to the land around us. With experiential, it needs to actively engage students in an experience that has benefits and consequences. So based on these principles, we've broken down our curriculum into seven essential elements: skill, journey, craft, nature, culture, sustainability, and self. Skill is the how-to of living in the forest with a few simple tools. These include safe use of tools such as an axe, a knife, and a saw, how to make fire under any weather conditions using friction percussion, refraction, or some other method, how to build shelters that aren't just a cool fort, but take the physics of energy transfer into account, and working with things and working with the land. So it's very landful. Journey is the traveling arts and includes all aspects of canoeing, such as poling, lining, paddling, snowshoeing, hauling toboggans, building camps, planning meals, and doing it all using very simple traditional gear. And when that gear breaks, we have to fix it, and usually we fix it with things we find in the forest. Craft is making gear using raw materials gathered from the landscape, using simple human-powered tools. So making things like pack frames, rope, pack baskets, toboggans, canoe paddles and poles, knives, saw frames. The point is not to make them and hang them on the wall, but to make them and use them. This is the only way to tell if you've made a functional saw frame, for example, or just some flimsy decoration. I always like to use the example of the fish spear, that I have numerous books where the people show crazy fish spears that it takes them a month to make, and because I've been out there and used a fish spear, I know that if they hit a rock with that thing, the first time it would shatter. You know, the fish spears that I make, the way that you tell if it works or not is by trying to spear a fish with it. The way you tell if your saw is any good is by sawing with it. You can see where I'm going with this. The nature aspect of our programs is building an intimate knowledge of the natural world around you using focused, structured study. Most people approach nature study like they do when they're watching cable TV. They get the remote and they flip through field guides. I've seen that. But we'll take it a step further and use focused, structured study. One of the common threads of our educational philosophy is action. So we designed a nature study curriculum where students take an active role. For example, they'll press a plant specimen from the landscape, and along the way they'll be tasting it, smelling it, and getting all their senses involved. And then later on, when they go back to do our plant of the day exercise, where we study one plant in depth and only one at a time, they will only be studying the ones they've identified in the field. So there's a common thread, a common link back to the landscape. And I think that's very important. Another example is our weather exercise, where they record the weather every day and then make a prediction on what's going to happen tomorrow. We also do this with stars in the night sky, with mammals, with a lot of different aspects of the natural world. The operating principle is that we tie everything back to a tangible link to the landscape. Abstraction is our enemy. The next element is culture, and that's the human element. And we approach that in two ways. First, we try to develop a culture of leadership and achievement, which is important for people who want to become guides and leaders. And to do this, we have students plan menus and pack food for trips and go over gear checklists and all the things that they would need to do in order to be leading the trip themselves. We also will have discussions about leadership and you know, what would you do in a certain role. But the second aspect is to study the people and the traditions of the land, and the land where we are. So, for example, this past fall, one of my neighbors, who's now a big television star, we went out with him for the day, and he's been trapping the land around there for 50 years or so. And just to hear him tell his stories and how his worldview is shaped by the land, you know, that's much different than talking to somebody who runs a ropes course that could take place anywhere. Sustainability, the next element. Everyday practices that minimize our impact on the planet and on our immediate surroundings. So we discuss things such as minimum versus displaced impact and practices of best practices of resource use. So yes, we do cut trees and harvest things from the land, but we teach students to use the mentality of a gardener, where they would be pruning the forest so it can grow in a more healthy manner, and not just to take what they want that's the most convenient. Another aspect of our sustainability that students get on a daily basis is our humanure composting system, where they're every single day, every little bit of organic matter that's generated ends up being composted right there on site. We're not trucking anything away. And I think that's important to draw that link back to the land, that everything that we bring in, we're trying to recycle it right there on site. Our final category is self. And this isn't about knowing yourself on a deep spiritual level, although that is often the result. Self comes from an understanding that the information published in books and things is most often generalizations. And the only way to learn the specifics that apply to you is to learn by doing. For example, a book might say that a bough bed needs to be 5 inches thick, but does it? You know, maybe I can sleep on a bough bed comfortably that's 2 inches thick, and maybe for somebody else they need 7 inches. And, you know, also, how big does your bed need to be? Things of this nature that you can't ever tell by reading a book, because it's a generalization. You know, other examples, how much water you need in a day. A book is going to tell you, maybe you need a gallon of water, but we're all a little bit different. Maybe somebody needs a quart, maybe somebody needs 2 gallons, and depending on the activity that you're involved in, it's going to be a lot different. So the only way to really know is to go out and do it. So in a sense, self is learning your own personal limits in a world filled with generalizations. And with example, or with regards to things such as shelter construction and whatnot, that's a direct link back to the land of how much material, how many raw resources you need to gather in order to accomplish a specific task. So if you're curious about our nature sustainability curriculum, you can download a book called First Person Ecology that outlines it. It's a free download and you can find it off of our website. Nature means something very different when you rely on it for food, raw materials, and as a place to spend your days and to live. It's a whole different experience than, say, if you use it as the backdrop for a hiking trip or a ropes course or something along that line. So maybe the antidote for the current role of nature in outdoor education is to take a look back. That in the history of our species' time on Earth, less than 1% has been in our modern, post-industrial revolution world. Most of our species who have ever lived have understood the landscape far differently than we're teaching in modern outdoor education. So, what's the point? In 2009, a friend of mine said something when we were talking about the point of studying bushcraft and learning nature on a very deep and visceral level that struck me very deeply. We were having the discussion, and he piped up and said, "It's about experiencing, even for just a little while, what it means to be a human being." It's about experiencing, even for just a little while, what it means to be a human being. As outdoor educators, that's a crucial part of what we're trying to get people to experience. To know it is to love it, is to value it, is to preserve it. Thanks for listening. My name is Tim Smith, and this is the Jack Mountain Bushcraft Podcast.